Did you kind of lift him up half-mast? Again, as we said so many times, he loves corporate worship. He loves individual worship. When I was exploring worship, private, wanted to know what it did, what it had to do with things. And I found out that praying in tongues, of course, was working his plan. You pray to a crossroad and you know whether to turn or not, because you've already went there in prayer. You can't pray in tongues without activating. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of God or the Spirit, and it enables him to make intercession for you according to the will of God. Then you can know all things that work together for the good to you who love God and called according to his. So you can't pray in tongues without working his purpose. You say, well, you know, I keep praying in tongues and this problem hasn't went away or anything. I'll tell you what he'll do. You'll either else have to quit praying, or he'll keep bringing you back to it until you whip it. But it was praying in tongues that delivered me to the worship key, the door that you unlocked it, opened it up, and worship come out, hit you in the face. And in the process of time, then, how he taught me that private worship had just as much to do with his presence than anything, which I thought praying in tongues did. No, yeah, praying in tongues did more, because it delivered you to the key that put worship into your life. See, it works together, not independent. Gary remembers better than I do when God put the fasting key in my hand, when I prayed in tongues till the fasting key opened the door to fasting. Gary said, after every holiday, January coming, dreaded it because I went into fasting, and I'd fast, I'd preach on fasting on Thanksgiving, you know. Not quite. Hallelujah, Jesus. So finding out that private worship per se, you corporate too if you want to hang around that long. They're going into the closet, closing the door and lifting your hands up and begin to worship him and praise him and glorify him. And I'm talking, you know, you spend the hours at work, because if you don't, you don't eat. So then you come home, so to you, you'll sacrifice if it's an hour or two or what. But when you come your own boss, you find out what you're made of. Are you going to go in there and, well, I don't have to, you know. Well, will you then? Would you get up and go to work if you didn't have to? So I went in and started worshiping, and I took my hands up just to, because that's what you do. When you're laying there on a bed, hallelujah, I glorify you. Magnify you, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And then there was excitement kind for a while. Then the excitement kind of got over with, and then endurance. I was wondering what else could I be doing during this time. You know, that got on me. pretty soon the words would go like glory, and they'd go up there, and then they'd go down like a hot cake and spatula on the floor. I'd get a spatula and try to throw them up. Glory. Glory. I'm thinking, well, I worshiped more. How come I feel worse? Because used to I'd stop on my own. This time I had to be stopped. When he taught me through the praying in tongues how much that worship had to do with the presence of God. And when Jesus was moved by compassion, he healed 1/3 of them. Oh, sorry. Thank you. He healed them all. What was he moved by? Compassion. So I didn't care what I felt like. I'd be in there praying and somebody would beat on the door, and here I am worshiping God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And they'd beat on the door and I felt like telling them to shut up. So I decided, you know, that if I talked to a few people and got a book and say, worship and read the book, oh, I'm not going to trust too many books just throwing myself into it. They said, you didn't break through, that you failed to break through. That's why you. And, oh, gee, I wonder how you break through. I've been in here a couple of weeks. You're just not breaking through. It's what one of them said. And the other ones, they named certain things and this and that. Some reason you're not getting through. Did you do something wrong? But it was a little vision I had myself. The devil was hanging on my hands, trying to pull them down. That little bitty teeny vision represented that he was in there fighting me emotionally. He's in there just fighting it. He didn't want me to break through. Fighting it like crazy. But then, I got that glimpse of heaven. And when I did, the angels was looking, and God used the TV. So it was like they were watching a TV and I was on it. And I was trying to hold my hands up and devils were pulling them down. But what got me is when they said, look, their devil's putting in his full effort here to get him to stop, to cancel him out. And he just won't go. And you talk about the strength from that. Well, what I really loved as time went by is how this would manifest. I know how it manifested with Jesus. He was moved by compassion, so that I knew when love is being manifested tangibly, it's felt in compassion. And he was moved by it. He healed them all. Moved by compassion and healed all of them. And when the devil really jumped up and down on me, you're giving him a lot of credit. No, I'm just explaining what he does and what you can do. He's really jumping up and down on me, trying to stomp me down into the ground. And in the middle of that, I'm thinking, oh, face this all the time. You know, what? And that's when he started in on me. He said, look, how much of the things that I did in there do you see today? Anybody taking a stroll through town and emptying the hospital? No. Anybody causing chaos? And I mean just a town can't turn their back on what's taking place there? No. I don't see that. Why? You know why? Obviously, it's a place that we're going to that you can't just go ask somebody, how do you get there? Because they don't know. But right in a serious time of that, a great war, but yet I felt like it's been built up. And that was when the boy I told you about three times before, that he was his father was a real holiness preacher, and we went to preach with him one time, or he preached and I watched, but we had to ride down to the coast maybe six hours. And so the boy was so little, he sat on Rosalie's lap. Well, he was raised by his dad then in holiness, but he came here. He came here and visited and had grown and preaching. But this was the amazing thing. I had entered ministry and they looked at me as one of those name it and claim it bunch at that time. So I went and they came into a meeting. I think they came to one in Tucson, and I was there, and they were there because they lived close to that place. And first of all, it was the first time that an excess of power showed up at demonstration. And as this woman was waiting for me when I came out to the resting room, she got in there and was waiting and hadn't been able to bend her thumb for years and years, not even moving. She said, would you pray for me? I don't know why we do this, but I wanted to test it to see how far it would move and examine it closely. And this is after a long time at him pulling hell out on me and my motions to try to get me to stop, and I wouldn't. Not that worship. So I reached up to test it, and it went. I said, huh? She goes, oh my God. And a voice from heaven said, yes. She goes, oh my God. And I said, it works? She said, yes, it works. So immediately they run back in and got a boy that told him, and I'd already preached in there to the people, prayed for some of them. But this is after when you rest. He come out and he had a blind eye. And I don't know why we do that, but we'll look at it, try to see which eyes. That one. So I finally got that right eye located, you know. I got the right eye located on the left. Thank you. I didn't want to take it off. I said, in Jesus' name, you open eye. Yeah, that's what I said. Yep. There I go. Okay, how many fingers? Close your good eye.
Two.
And now?
Three.
I can see. And he ran out in the yard yelling and everything. I wanted to chase him and say, you can? Here's the good part, if you listen. The path to the cross. The path to the cross. is just as sovereign, just as finished as the things the cross is providing. Why would he provide all those and then have an abortion on the path every time you're walking down it? Or things to trick you and to get you off of it? I mean, why would he provide all those things and not a deliberate path to everything he's done for you? And can you really get on that path and put one foot in front of the other one until you have gone into everything he has for you? Can you really do that? Really? Do you know how far God has gone to see to it that you can do that? I like when Mark, he uses a lot of people to demonstrate his messages. People holding ropes and everything, you know. But it's clear to see what he's talking about when he's illustrating a parable, is it not? And then, can you imagine a round table? And the Father was sitting up here, and the precious Holy Spirit was on his left, and the Word who became flesh is on his right, Jesus. You know, and they're looking through the eons of time at us. Now, you want to know how far he went? They're looking down through history. Hey, look, he fell. Oh, then Jesus said, I guess the only way out of this one is I'll have to go and die in their place and be suffering in their stead to give them a way back out of this. So I'll go do that. So he said, I'll go do that. And they said, okay, let's look on a little further. And they looked on a little bit further, and even though he had a new nature, he's running around doing half the things the world did. So the Holy Spirit raises his hand and says, I'll go down and baptize that new nature, and I'll live in them, and they can use my power to walk in. So they said, yeah, thanks. So the Holy Spirit comes down. You think they'll pray now? Oh yeah, they'll pray. They're full of the power and they have a new nature. So here, all these people sitting in Pentecostal churches. Hundredfold return. If you give 20, you'll get 100-fold return. How about 100? 1,000? Just think, $100,000 will come back to you. A preacher, I got some counsel for you. If you need that money, why don't you give it? And then it'll all come to you. She says, look at them. They're running around, indulgent. They love to talk to crowds because they get more money. And look at them. Look at them. What a mess. I mean, they need some help. How are we going to get them some help? We told them if they'd pray, you know, whatever, I'd hear them and answer it. So whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I give it to you. Look at them. They're just running around hogging everything. And what are we going to do? Boy, they need some prayer, but they won't pray. What are we going to do? So finally, the Father settles it and says, Holy Spirit, I'll create the prayer. And you stick... Well, it'll be called tongues. They'll receive a prayer language. And they won't know what they're praying. It'll be in another language so that we can pray our will down upon them without them knowing it. You think we can get them to do it then? It's come to this. We'll do their praying for them, and we'll create the prayer that they need to pray, and we'll pray it for them, and then we'll answer it. Do you think they'll pray in tongues? No, you can't. Pray. We love you. You fell out under the power. Hallelujah, Jesus. What have we got? I mean, my natural father, just, and I was raised by Grandpa pretty much. But he came back from the war, and I think something happened. You know, he left. So I got raised by Grandpa, who, he was an old timer. He never wore nothing but coveralls. Chewing tobacco in his pocket. He believed in work. When I got 18, the day I turned 18, I run down to Watsonville and I couldn't get in the Navy. So I went to San Francisco, which is 98 miles away, and joined the Navy and left. Anyway, can you imagine having a father? See, I can't hardly. I can now. Can you imagine having a father that loves you so much that not only did he pay the price, but he gave you his power? Not only did he give you your power, but he also gave you authority that when you pray, it would be answered because he paid the price. And even when you don't know how to pray, he'll even provide the prayer. And you say, we're not going to have revival here. You want to bet? You want to bet? We're having revival here. Come on. Now see, we can drive to major towns and get the Holy Ghost churches. Some of them have some pretty good charismatic moves. And when I studied the ones that I studied, they had good moves because they gave you what you wanted to hear. Yes, when you're saved, you're always saved. It doesn't matter. You can sin like the devil and everything. Once you got it, you know you're in. We're talking about Holy Ghost people. We're not talking about people running around that didn't receive the teacher in baptism or language. So, hey, tell me I'm okay. Tell me I'm going to get a lot of money for giving, and then tell me I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. And I'll come to your church and get my friends. We'll come. But keep telling us we're okay because we don't want a mistake, you know. So when you go into the cities and the TV, airways, this is... I mean, we should learn after several centuries that revivals are terminated and they're back in the world again. We should know. So the people that get usually a speaking position, like the ones that spreading this stuff, they're the ones that usually get all the money because it's worth a lot for you to tell me I'm okay if I'm not. I'm not okay. I know that, but I want you to tell me I'm okay. Say, you're the preacher. Please tell me, am I okay? Well, here's my checkbook. See? Now, I thank God for the results they do have. For the friends they got to come that did get saved, possibly. I don't know. I don't see any of the signs and wonders or anything like that. And I think most are proselytes. They're not people that come in and are being born again. Just tell me an easier way to live and I'll take that, you know. Please. Please. Anybody got a cigarette?
But you're in church.
Why? What's the difference if you're going to smoke it? So now we can go to all the churches that have the Holy Spirit in town and thank God for the Word. Now someone's teaching and they're teaching on healing and some have healing lines. And we see all these major things. But we don't see a level of miracles and power that will mess a whole city up. And even after Jesus went back and left the apostles in position in the great revival in the book of Acts, they hauled the sick in from other cities and laid them along the road. And every one of them was healed. What? Have we got another God now? Or do we have different people? Look at the judgment that took place on Ananias and Sapphira. And I'll tell you what. The judgment gift isn't left out. I was used in it a couple of times and I decided I need to be more mature. But there is a judgment. But he said, no, the only thing that will qualify it is the mercy in you that rejoices against judgment. But he used Paul like that and used well, I can't think of a city that I could go into and visit all the tongue-talking churches who at least have made it that far and find anything going on. Like I said, some of them have a very, very nice charismatic approach and you feel good. And it's okay. I can't stand the thought of the rest of my town going to hell. It's going to need something that would shock them like in the book of Acts. So what did he do? He doesn't do that anymore. Tulsa's in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Have you read that prophecy he gave me one of the first service? And I thought it was rather peculiar to come out of my mouth, which it did. And what the key word in the prophecy was endurance. Well, that's 20 years ago. I had no idea how much change was needed. But this I know. We're going to see our outpouring. Well, sure, because the end time's coming. Oh, wait a minute. You mean people isn't worth as much 50 years ago that's died by now? That God wouldn't move for them like that to keep them out of hell if it was Him making the decision? He can only move with what He has. Why would He say, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers? He's the one who died for them. You didn't. What does He want you to ask Him? You're the one that has authority here. I thought, pray you? How about the dark ages when God wasn't moving in a mighty harvest? Oh, well, you know, He just decided not to move during... No, He didn't. The church lost it. Thank God for Seymour that fought tongues back into the forefront. Yes, at the turn of the century, which is 110 years ago now. So, put a box over his head and pray in tongues in the service. I guess he didn't want you to watch him. He'd put a box over his head and sit in the service and pray and pray. But it concluded in a mighty, mighty move of the Spirit, rebaptizing the churches and bringing us back where we are. Are you telling me that when he moved in the book of Acts, those people's lives were more important than the people in Tulsa that tune in the same programs every day and are still going to hell? What, are they more important? We're living in a time when everybody almost in the U.S. can read. And you can go to any bookstore now and get a Bible. They're thoroughly, thoroughly available. Bibles all over the place. Available. So just throwing the Word of God in your lap doesn't seem to work. Have somebody get up and tell you what's passed away and what's happened.
Well, that passed away. Miracles passed away with the apostles.
Oh, really? Did they? John lived, outlived all of them. He's about 105. You know why he lived longer than the rest of them? He was the one that they called the apostle of love. Never fails. He probably even looked good. John. I can just see him. The apostles have a prayer line. You know, and they've been ministering for 60 years or so. They all come together for a reunion and had this long prayer line. And they were praying and people were getting healed everywhere. And it was glorious. And it was down then to the last apostle, which was John. All the other ones had gone. They went home. So he's got some trainees. So they're all in the prayer line praying, and people are jumping up, throwing their crutches and running, and all of a sudden, all of it stopped. Now get up.
I can't.
Give me that crutch.
What will I walk with?
I mean, nobody's getting healed anymore. All of a sudden, it just stopped. And they went, why? Well, didn't you hear? It was done away with the apostles. They ran down and John, the last apostle alive, had died 15 minutes before that, and it all stopped. Passed away with the apostles. Poor little guy in some other country going, what happened? What happened? So makedisili. Eskondalesili. Estangan asili hokombreva. Binstalo frachebe. Oh, is good, I say. Oh, that's good. He emphasized for us, my love increases. For as my love increases. For as my love increases, as what I've already said to you, you'll begin to see the things that'll be uncovered that once was with the revivals that I sent. I'll say the second person said all he needs is somebody that he can take to that place. And you'll see those things in their fullness. Again. Woo. Oh, yes. He said, didn't I say to you? I said, not unto you. that all things are possible to him believe? Did I not say these things to you? When you step over onto my side and walk according to my Spirit, you'll see. But this I'm pleased in, that one of the major sources to information is the language you speak when you pray in tongues. And when you pray something out, then you receive it. And you'll see, it will be in your direction, in the power you walk in, and even the teaching and preaching gifts you'll possess. You'll see, all these things will manifest, and you'll see mighty things happen before I return. Ooh. He said, some of you are pulled down with dismay, and even though you teach yourself in confession and rising up, that for short periods of time you'll rise up, and then these disappointments come back. And how do I explain that? Yes, and the feeling that's trying to become a foundation in your life will keep reappearing, that you'll end up doing nothing because you ended up walking that way. Thank you. I'm glad he finished that one. I was hoping it wasn't done. And he wants you to know that praying in tongues has everything to do in a certain amount of time with the atmosphere that rests around you that you're yielded to. Don't stop. Hallelujah. You know what I saw one time here? I can still remember it because I saw it. He didn't come in through the door when I noticed him. He was already standing by the wall. To me, he was between 6 and 7 feet tall. He was big. People had been saying, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. And I'm going, God, that's a horrible feeling. You ever felt that in a church somewhere? You went there and you go, ooh. Well, if it happens here, it's not us. He was standing over there, just looking around. That feeling was there. Ooh, something's wrong here.
Something's wrong here.
As he stood there and I heard that chanting, then all of a sudden it fanned out a darkness. I mean, over the whole crowd it fanned out. I don't know. They were funny looking little creatures, just a they looked like demons as opposed to an angelic devil. They were just little things. And they covered the whole crowd over it, started chanting, something is wrong here. Something is wrong here. And the chanting caused that feeling to be real strong inside. So when I was stepping out, I saw that vision. And I was walking through that and saw all this go on all of a sudden. And I was going to act on it real quick, but I decided I'm going to go see what he wants. And sure enough, he was showing me. You know how principalities and powers and rulers, the wickedness. in the devil's operation, there's also, just like us, principalities, powers, rulers of this world. There's principalities and powers and things and different levels of offices that these devils hold. And that day I found out that it'll be territorial. A big old fallen devil, he'll have a whole region of darkness to guard over. And if he hears of a revival or anything, he goes and he parks there and he moves in all those devils and things to defeat the thing, to blow it up. We've been visited a couple of times to get up where there's no more room. And there it comes. Well, if people have to get past all of that to see real, real revival, then so be it. We have power over all of their power. And they'll not win. One time a devil said, I hate you worse than all of them. I said, compliments will get you nowhere. Chala come in. He did say it. But you, come unto me. Come unto me. You that are burdened heavily. Come unto me. You'll see. I can give you rest. Did you have a good chapter laid out for us? I did. But what did you end up preaching? A mystery that's been prayed into existence through praying with tongues. But I did have a good teaching laid out about, you know, your sinning and stuff and what's your hope if you're sinning on the side? And that would have been a good message, but I don't need it. Okay, so I do a little bit. But maybe I'll get to that next time.